Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Well, listen, I'm only going to spend literally 32 minutes. We want to end at 11:30 so we can begin the festival that Pastor Rod has put a lot of time and the team into. But I do want to share just for a few minutes. Question for you. Have you ever been in one season and the things that served you in that season are no longer the things that can serve you in the next season? So for example, I see some hands, that's good. We had a small car and then we had 3 kids in 14 months. And how many know that the small car in the season that we were in previous to the 3 kids served well? But the nightmare that I had when I found out we were having twins was, oh my goodness, I have to get a van. Any other fathers go through that? Only to find out how much you love a van and how much you can fit into a van. It's amazing. Sometimes I wish, you know, I had a van still. I don't need one, Jesus. I'll go for a truck. But it's interesting that in one season, that car works well, but you transition into a new season and that car does not work. You have to transition. I remember a story, Danny Silk, who's a preacher and a teacher, and he writes books. He talked about going out with his, he didn't take his wife, he should have, newlyweds, they were expecting, and he went, because they're like, we got to get a car, we need to have something reliable, and he went and got some sort of sports car with only 2 seats, and it was a 3-seater, but anyway, back in the day, they didn't know. She got home, she's like, where are we going to put our child, you know, like stick shift, you know, anyway, he realized in that moment that he didn't even get to the right season. He had a transition. So I want to talk to us today about things that worked in one season that don't anymore. I don't know how many years ago we went to Florida. Anybody want to do the quick math? Krista's here. Any idea? It was, I don't know how many years ago. It was 15, 16 years ago. Our kids were really small. And this is when the space shuttle still was in operation. And we found out while we were there that I believe it was the last one, wasn't it? It was the last time the space shuttle would launch. And so our parents had blessed us with this trip. It was 19 of us. We all had red shirts with our number on it. It was awesome. We wore those shirts. We wore them one day, and we thought, we don't need to wear them the next day. But I'll tell you, when you have 19 people and you're all wearing shirts with numbers, it's really easy to find each other, because the day we didn't, we lost each other. So from there on, it didn't matter if they were clean or dirty, we wore our shirts. But the one day we took a break, we found out the space shuttle was launching. And so we took off, and it's Titusville, where you can see it from. We didn't know how much of a huge ordeal this was, because when we got there, the traffic was crazy. Like, people were coming from all over, and we didn't realize, not cluing in, that this was the last space shuttle to launch. And so it was just jam-packed crazy. We thought, where are we going to park? Where are we going to get an opportunity? So we drove down this road thinking, let's just find any place we can park. So we find a parking spot. We get out, and there's this makeshift sign that says, space shuttle watchers are welcome in our backyard, something like that. We thought, really? Like, this is crazy. So it's somebody's yard. So we go back there, and people are just showing up, putting out a blanket and watching the space shuttle. It was really cool, because it was like we parked right here. There's the sign, walked to the backyard, and little did we know that we were right across, like right across. Were you guys there? You didn't come that day, did you? Right across from the space shuttle. Now, it was a distance, but it was really cool. So we get talking, and it's really awesome. And little did we know, we found out later that the gentleman that owned the house was a former astronaut that went to space. And we were able to find his name. I can't tell you what it was now, but he was talking, and we finally got it out of him. And he's like, yeah, I'm an astronaut. And he wasn't lying. This was his thing. That's why he opened his yard for everybody to see. Why am I telling you this story? So when the space shuttle launches, if you remember watching it, how many were old enough to watch it live? Yeah. When the space shuttle launches, it's really interesting that it's on top of this huge, I believe it's the fuel, and then you also have the booster rockets on the side, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? And it launches, which is an incredible thing. I wish I could show you a video. We can't for YouTube rights. But this thing launches, and as it climbs, you know, it goes and goes and goes and goes. And then it gets to a point where you'll see the boosters They shut off, they power off. They're out of fuel. And in that moment, the boosters actually release, and then after that, the big tank releases. And here's what's interesting about it is the thing that gets them into space becomes a deterrent once they get into space, so they don't keep it on, they actually release it. Because if you ever wondered, why would they just not let it stay there? Because it becomes dead weight. It becomes something that is no longer going to be helpful. And so they release the boosters and they release the big tank so we can go into the next season. As I was preparing for today, this festival of hope, I'm praying like, Lord, what do you want us to know? What is it? You know, I love that you got, you know, the word hope, not fully knowing that today was a festival of hope. We do, we've already mentioned it, we're in a very interesting season in the world where there seems to be a lot of hopelessness. There seems to be a lot of turmoil. There seems to be a lot of shaking and confusion. And how many know that that is not who God is? Maybe you don't know that, but I want to let you know that's not who God is. And a lot of times, things happen in life that confuse us. Anybody ever go through things? You know, for the month of August, we actually, these stories that we went through, some of them were, you know, troubles as a young person, self-inflicted. Some of those were unexpected. And you do sit back and you go, Lord, where are you in this? Like, what is going on in this? Help me to understand. So raise your hand if you've ever been there, church. See, just keep your hand up because that's comforting for those that maybe are going through it and you're like, oh, I'm not alone. Two up, three up. I hear story after story, not only from our own church, of stories that I read. And sometimes when you're in a season, you can't understand what is going on. And you can't understand why this season is taking place. And you can't always understand how to get out of this season. But I had a word of hope for you guys today. I believe that for a lot of us, or all of us choosing, you know, whether we choose to or not, that God wants to take us out of the season that we're in to get us into the season where we're going to. Amen to that? But there's a catch. Open your Bibles if you have it. If you don't have a Bible, you're next to somebody, you can read with them, but open your Bibles to Isaiah 61. There's a great app called the Bible Hub, I believe it is, or Bible app. There's probably tons of Bibles now. So turn to Isaiah 61. This is a scripture I read last week. It's actually the scripture that Jesus comes and reads when he's in the temple, and he basically says, this is me, this is who I am. I'm gonna read it, and he basically says, this is why I came, Jesus. And it says in verse 1, it says, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Now listen, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion. Here's the key that I heard. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And then it says that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. This is literally, like I said, the words that Jesus spoke when he came and he said, hey, this is who I am. I'm coming to the earth and this is why. And he reads out, he says, the Lord has anointed me. And this is what he's anointed me to do, to preach good tidings to the poor. He's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. How many have ever been brokenhearted? Did you know that he came to personally heal you from that brokenheartedness? It says that he came to proclaim liberty to the captives, those who are bound, those who are addicted, those who are dormant. You said it, 18 years? 18 years ago, right here, he gets prayer and he has been living drug-free. ever since. Didn't mean it wasn't easy. And he shared his testimony. You can go online and see it. But Jesus came to set Dorman free, because Dorman's life was going down and it was going to end in destruction. So through that healing and the process that began, now he's a perfect example. The season that he was in, there are things that he had to let go of for the season that he was going into. The first thing he had to let go of was the drugs. But here's the thing. It wasn't the drugs that he had to let go of. Did you know that for most of the things that we go through, there's something that's causing us to do what we do? The church is notorious, and please forgive us as a church. We're notorious for looking at sin in your life. And of course, there are some things that we choose, but I have never met somebody that was not trying to get out of things that I did not find something else behind it that was causing the thing to happen. So really for Dorman was a journey of going, where's the pain that I need to get out of so I can break this, that Jesus can break the addiction and I can walk free. So every time when I talk about these things, I want you to understand that those things like Dorman with maybe it was worthlessness, hopelessness, all the things, the pain, those are those booster rockets that sometimes we need to get rid of. Now, in this case, those booster rockets did not serve him. There was nothing that was serving him. Pain, hopelessness, discouragement, worth, those are things that do not serve us. But I also want to talk about things in our life that do serve us in one season, but we also have to let go of for the next season. You tracking with me? It then says to open the prison to those who are bound. So many things come to mind. You know, we often think of prison to those who are bound. Now, Jody, I love your honesty and openness. You know, you joke around about wanting to hide, and there are people that would be here and we're like, you're hiding with a voice like that. You don't want to be seen with a voice like that. But isn't it interesting that we all can be in a place and still have insecurities? Have you ever looked at somebody and you're like, oh, they can't have any insecurities, like they got the whole package? And then you meet them and you find out how insecure they really are. Anybody ever meet somebody like that? Like, I'm amazed that sometimes the person you think that has it all together, and then you really get to know them, you're like, wow, you have issues just like I do. That's incredible. I tell the story, maybe you've heard it. It's been a while since I told it. There was a youth pastor I used to really admire. I felt like he had all these things. I was a youth pastor at the time too, and he had all these things together. And I don't know, I just really admired him. I just thought he was the full package. And I remember one day he came in to see me. And as we're talking, he starts talking like he admires me. He starts telling me how much he admires me because I'm the full package. And I'm like, dude, you're the full package. Like, we didn't say those words, but it was like this. We admire each other, but we're both insecure in what we do. It's amazing that we could have all these things working within us, not realizing that they are not serving us, and Jesus wants to come and set us free from being bound. Because how many know those things bind you? Right? You want to go do something, you want to step into the next, but you're so fearful that you choose not to. That's being bound. And it could show up with drugs and alcohol, all these different things. But I see it more often where people will tell me their dreams. And I'll be like, well, why don't you go for it? Oh, no, I could never do that. No, not me. I'm not good enough. That's being bound in your thoughts. We don't want to be bound. And then it says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So what I'd like to tell you about that is, did you know that this is the acceptable year of the Lord? It's been the acceptable year of the Lord since the day he came. What that means is that he is not looking at you going, well, this is not the year. I'm sorry. You're not going to get healed today because it's not the year. I'm so grateful that the day that he went to the cross, which was the vengeance of God, the day that he went there is the day that you can now be set free forever, every day. And then it says this, to comfort all who mourn. And you were reading that scripture out of Psalms. To console those who mourn in Zion. But I want to get here. This is the line that stood out to me as I was preparing. I got this a couple weeks ago and just trying to work through it. But it says, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. It's interesting that different translations say it differently. Some translations say, it says, to give them beauty instead of ashes, to give them the oil of joy instead of mourning. So I'm a word guy. I love to look up words. And it's interesting that the word in the Hebrew, when you look it up, it actually goes into instead of or a substitution of. So really what it's saying there, he says, to give them beauty instead of ashes, to give them joy instead of mourning. Or I want to substitute what they're going through. I want to give them something new. So let's talk about it for a minute. There's a gentleman, I want to say his name right. You would all know it. How many have ever seen the movie Unbroken? Yes? Louis Zamperini. Did I say that right? Zamperini? That was a good accent. Close enough. How many have ever heard his story? He was the runner, right? He ran in the Olympics. He was incredibly fast. It's interesting that he was a troubled teen. So keep in mind as I tell you this story, how often he would go for something instead of. He had to substitute. He had to trade. He had to get rid of one to get to the next season, right? So he was a troubled teen. And the movie, if you've ever seen Unbroken, starts like that. And they get him into running and they find out this guy runs and he runs well and he can run far. So he substitutes his troubled past so he can now run. And he runs so well, he goes to the Olympics. And I believe he wins, doesn't he? Anybody remember the movie? I can't remember. But he goes to the Olympics, which in itself, you go to the Olympics, that's a win. All right? After the Olympics, the war starts, World War II. And so he trades the Olympics because he wants to go serve his nation. So he serves his nation, ends up on a bomber where in that season they went to war. That was great. But then the day comes where they crash, they get shot down and two of them survive. So how many know if you're in a burning plane, it's good to trade that season to get out of that season. So they end up on a raft, not the place you want to be, but better than the bottom of the ocean in a burned out plane. So he trades that season and they get on a raft and they are there for 47 days. 47 days. And they go through it in the movie. It's pretty remarkable what they, you know, they're trying to survive. They live off of rainwater. They somehow catch fish, birds. They do whatever they can. And the moment, it's kind of like you talk about hope deferred makes the heart sick because there's a moment where that raft really, and there's sharks too. They get attacked by sharks a couple times. So the moment comes where they see a freighter, a ship coming, and they're so excited because they're trading this season for the next, only to find out it's not their side, it's the enemy, it's the Japanese. That's tough. Now, it's tough, but at the same time, when you're in a boat, it's probably better. I'm going to trade the boat, now I'm going to trade it for captivity. And it's just if you've never watched the movie, it's a remarkable movie. So interesting, though, that he gets into a concentration camp and he is horribly treated. And it just so happens that one of the head guys, they name him the bird, he takes a hatred to Louis and he just picks on him for 2 years. He picks on this guy. Now, in the boat, Louis prays and he says, Lord, if you get me out of this situation, I will serve you the rest of my life. So I want you to know two things are happening. He did say this prayer, and I believe as you watch the movie and as you read about this, that God gave him strength that no man would have strength for. It was a God thing. But I want to talk also about the natural side, that how many know that I'm sure he had a bit of anger and bitterness, right? And I think in that season, although it was not a good thing, I think he would do things. Like at one moment, he had to put this thing over his head and he had to hold it there. I don't know how long he held it there. There were moments where they had the whole base, the whole prison had to hit him for something that he did. Every one of them had to hit him. Like, can you imagine one after another hitting you in the face? And he just kept saying, do it, do it. It was a supernatural strength, but it was also an anger that took hold of him to say, I will get through this no matter what. I will spite my captor. in that season, actually, with what he was going through, it served him. But here's the story that is not in that story, that's part of his story. That bitterness and anger ravaged him. When he got home, they were rescued. When he got home, he could not just let go of the bitterness and anger. It stayed with him for years, to the point where he could not sleep. He had nightmares. He would wake up and he would see the bird, that one man that taunted him, and he would live in that. Like, it's like he lived it every day. And that anger and bitterness that really helped him through one season, it was actually killing him in the next season. And he got to a point, he became an alcoholic. He was drinking every day to try to numb the pain of what he saw, of what he went through. I can't remember, I think it was 7 or 8 years that he lived in this place. And, you know, the plane served him until the plane crashed. The boat served him until the boat was no longer. You know, the concentration camp probably was better than the boat. The anger kept him afloat in that moment, plus the Spirit of God that gave him the strength. But when he got home, that season was not working anymore. And everything that helped him was killing him. Here's the amazing thing. His wife just kept working with him, and she invited him one day to a Billy Graham crusade. You guys know this story. Billy Graham crusade, if you don't know Billy Graham, I'm sure most people have heard of his name. Just one of the most articulate evangelists, somebody that shared the gospel in that time. She took him to a meeting, and he shared the gospel about a God that sent his son to the world to take our sin on his shoulders so we could be set free. Not that we would have to try to earn it. We wouldn't have to go through all these hoops to try to get God to love us. But God came to actually die for us and to set us free and to do these very things, that he would set us free. He would heal the brokenhearted. He would give us liberty. He would open the prison doors. He would comfort us. And when Louis heard those words, he went to the front to say, "Lord, I promised you in that boat. I have not lived up to it." So he walked to the front and he said, "I'm giving you my life. Please help me and set me free." And did you know that night he was set free? It's amazing. He was set free from alcoholism. Now, it doesn't always happen this way. I would love to tell you that instantly we're always set free. How many can attest to the fact that it comes in a process a lot? Yes. But for him in that moment, because of the place that he was in, the promise that he said to God, he was set free in that moment. He was set free from alcoholism. He was set free from bitterness. He was set free from anger. And he could finally sleep. Isn't that amazing? Here's what's even more amazing. He went back to Japan, found the man, and forgave him to his face and released him. Only God can do that. So why am I saying all this? Because I don't know about you, but I have discovered that in seasons that I'm in, even the season that I'm currently in, I realize that I am holding on to, and I'm going to call them like they do here, ashes of the seasons gone by. Things that either burnt and we don't understand why, maybe it was a death and we've had challenges in our own church. We have somebody that we loved pass away. Those are ashes that you're like, "Lord, I don't know what to do with this." And we hold on to those, and maybe it's a failed venture. Maybe it's the things that we go through, and these are ashes in our life. But here's the thing. To get to the next season, we have to let go of the past season. And sometimes that's really hard. I've come to realize, I just have been starting to realize that in a season I went through with COVID, there was a word spoken over me that I have held onto internally without even fully realizing it, that have been ashes in my life that have kept me from moving forward. You know, people can speak things over you that lock you, that hold you, that keep you. You don't even always know what these words, like, you can't consciously, "Oh, that's why I don't move forward, because of what they spoke." Sometimes it takes God to reveal it. And as I've been praying, I'm like, "Lord, what is going on in this season?" He's been revealing, you still believe the words that they spoke over you. You let those words get into your heart. They weren't my words over you. They were their words over you, but you took them as my words. And these are like ashes in my life. They're like a heap of ash. And I want to go into the next season. And for some reason with God, he's like, no, I'm sorry, you can't go into that season with all this ash. Yeah, but I'm really comfortable with these ashes. Like, I'm comfortable with the pain. I'm kind of comfortable with the bitterness. I've gotten used to it. It's like a friend to me. I'm comfortable with the drugs. I'm comfortable with the, you know, I've just always felt worthless. I've always felt stupid. I've always felt dumb. It's all I know. He's like, I know that's all you know. But you have to get rid of it to go to the next season. So sometimes the Lord's like, hey, I got a new season for you. But here's the thing. We said to give them beauty instead of ashes. And really, I'm going to close as we begin to get ready to go to the next. I realize the Lord has been saying to me, and I want to say to you, because I believe this is a word for all of us, you're holding the ashes of the season that you were in, and he wants you to give him your ashes. Because it's the only way we can go to the next season. And that can be hard. It can be hard. Now, it doesn't mean we have to forget, or we have to, like, I can't remember the good things. No, we remember the good things, but there's often something we carry that we say, I have to get rid of this. I have to let God take this. I have to let God take the words spoken over me in the season of COVID where it felt like we could do nothing right. As leaders, it's like you turn left, you get hit. You turn right, you get hit. And then when people say things, I personally took it on. I'm realizing now, just being real with you. And those things have been holding me back. And the Lord is saying to me, will you give me that pain that are ashes? Will you give them to me? Will you let it go? Will you let them go? Will you let the words go spoken over you? Will you let it go? I don't know what it is for you. You know, maybe you've walked through broken relationships. Maybe you have had a death. Maybe you've gone through something that you don't even understand, and it's this confusion, and you want to step forward, but the confusion holds you back. And today I want to give you an opportunity to say, can you give him those ashes? It's not an easy thing. But what I do know is when I read this, I get excited because it says to give them beauty. He wants to give us beauty instead of ashes. He wants to give us joy instead of mourning. I don't know about you, but if I have a choice between beauty and ashes, I'm taking beauty. If I have a choice between mourning and joy, I want to take joy. But even though sometimes we want to take it, how many also know that we could be living in mourning and we don't even know that there's another place to live in, which is joy? Now, just to finalize this, I've also realized at times that the things that I thought I needed in one season that needed to come into the next season, hindsight, isn't it good when you look back and you realize sometimes that some of the things, like those booster rockets that helped you get into this season, even it can be friendships that just help you get into this season, and then you realize the season is over. To get into the next season, it's something different. Man, I want to hold on to that season. It was a good season. And he's like, you got to let go of that season to get to your next season. And so maybe you've been struggling to go, Lord, I don't want to let that go. It was such a good season. Those people were part of my life, but there's something inside of you that you're like, I know it's done, but I don't want it to be done. It was a good season. He's like, yeah, but you have to get to the next season. And now the very thing, like the booster rockets that were serving you, if you ever had this, now becomes something that holds you back. And you have to let it go. You stand with me as we close, normally we'd have some really beautiful piano music, set the tone. Rod, do you want to play the piano? No, it's okay. That season has passed. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. You don't have to do anything, but you may actually feel the go, Lord, I got to take these ashes and I got to give them to you. And sometimes we really encourage you to do a physical act if it helps you to walk through that moment. And so as I pray, and we'll ask everyone to close their eyes so it's more comfortable and it's easier to focus as well. But maybe when you pray, you just say, Lord, I'm going to give you these ashes. And it would really be good for you to name that. You don't have to name it out loud, but to go, Lord, these are the ashes that I know I've been carrying around and they have been hindering me. So Lord, as we do this, Lord, I'm aware of ashes in my life. Lord, I ask right now that you would be in this room and you would show people even the ashes that they've been carrying in their life. The pain, the hurt, anger, could be addictions. But Lord, would you even begin to show what's beyond the addiction? What is the pain that has been being carried around? Lord, as we begin to just put these before you, whether you want to put out your hands and just say, Lord, here are my ashes. You could just be doing it in your heart as well. But Lord, right now we put these things before you. Lord, we hear your voice asking us to let go of where we've been to move forward. Lord, I ask right now the same anointing that was in the room where Louis was set free with Billy Graham. Lord, you can do it today. So, Lord, if there are those here that are smiling on the outside but bound on the inside, Lord, would you set them free right now in Jesus' name? Would you begin to do a work that only you can do in Jesus' name? Lord, we take these ashes and we lay them before you. Lord, we thank you for the seasons that we've been in, if they were good. Lord, we thank you that we are getting out of seasons if they were bad. But we give you this and say, Lord, I want to walk into the new season of my life. Lord, I want to walk into the beautiful season that you have for me. I want to walk into the joy that you have for me, the hope that you have for me, the peace that you have for me. And if you don't know Jesus here and you don't know who he is, I encourage you to begin to say, Lord, I acknowledge I don't know you, but I want to follow you. I want to know who you are. I want to go on a journey to find out who Jesus is, the Son of God that would come and set me free, but take the price on his shoulders. And it's as simple as saying, Jesus, would you come into my life? I want to begin a journey with you. And Lord, I close with the words that Jody said, we can tell God. Lord, you are there and we can speak to you and you listen and you hear our voice. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. I bless everyone here today. Lord, I ask that you do incredible things in their life. I pray, Lord, that the season that they were in, the season that they are letting go of would be in the past now. Lord, I thank you for the things that serve them, but we say, Lord, that season's done so we can move into the next season. I pray a blessing upon everyone here, that you grant them joy, peace, and hope, and love. They would feel your love in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.